Eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening. Thankful that you're such a patient God with us, very loving and caring. Our minds cannot really fathom the depth of your love for us. The outworking of your plan is beyond our comprehension. Everything about you, so majestic, so that all we can do is to thank you for being who you are. We thank you for showing your love to us in a practical way by giving your son on the cross on our behalf. What a privilege it is for us that we're your children. And so we have gathered this evening to study a portion of your word. We realize that our human minds are incapable of understanding anything that is spiritual apart from the ministry of the Spirit. So it is our request this evening that the Holy Spirit will provide us the concentration that we need to perceive what you have for us this evening. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 10 through 12 reads, "Do not say, 'Why were the old days better than these?' For it is not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor." Now, in our world, where materialism reigns supreme, most people put money above everything else on this planet. They do not see anything that could be better in life than being wealthy. But the scripture indicates otherwise, using the richest man of his time, Solomon, to convey to us that there is something better than wealth. Now that's one of those things, in this case, which is wisdom. It's one of those things that we see God's wisdom displayed, because if it's a poor man that say this, we'll say, well, he's either being jealous of those who are rich, but he's the richest man. So, for him to be used is one of those God's wisdom. Now, it really requires devotion to spiritual things for a person to recognize that wisdom is better than wealth. You see, most of us, if given the choice between wisdom and wealth, will choose money over wisdom, because we live in a materialistic society where the spiritual is at the bottom of our priority. But those who understand the value of wisdom or the benefits will opt for wisdom over wealth, although it may not offer things that are often tangible or can be measured materially. Anyhow, the Holy Spirit through Solomon conveys a simple message that enables us to recognize the importance of wisdom. The message is simply that you should prefer wisdom even over money, because it is beneficial to those who possess it, providing them something money cannot. That you should want it, prefer wisdom over money, because it is beneficial to those who possess it, providing them something money cannot. Now, why should anyone prefer wisdom over money? Why? The first answer is that wisdom keeps a person from asking a specific kind of question. That is, the answer is already available in the scripture to the wise. The kind of question in view is indicated in prohibition given in the first sentence of Ecclesiastes 7:10, when it says, "Do not say, 'Where were the old days,' or 'Why were the old days better than these?'" Now, the question prohibited implies that one makes an assertion that the old days were better than the present time, and that the person who's saying that is ignorant of God's word. Because, you know, when people think about old days, it all depends on where they're from, their own vantage point. Now, the word better, though, is probably means more pleasant, since really we have a Hebrew adjective that means good, which also means pleasing. So the question infers that the old days are more pleasant than the present, in the sense that things or conditions were better in the past than in the present. Now the concern is not that one assumes that the old days were better or more pleasant than the present, but that one does not ask the question of why that is the case, even if that is true for the given individual. Of course, the prohibition could be understood as a prohibition not to assert that things were better in the past than at the present. However, it is likely that Solomon is concerned with the idea of posing such a question while not ignoring the other possibility of prohibiting the assumption that things were better in the past. Now, this prohibition not to inquire of the reason old days are better than the present seems odd that Solomon quickly provided a reason for it. His reason is that such a question reflects absence of wisdom, as in the second sentence of Ecclesiastes 7:10 that we're studying. It says, "For it is not wise to ask such questions." Now, a more literal translation is this: "For it is not for wisdom, it is not from wisdom that you ask about this." Let me repeat that again. "It is not from wisdom that you ask about this." Now, this is because we have a Hebrew word that here means aptitude, experience, good sense, wisdom. Now, the meaning of the Hebrew word translated wisdom implies that a person who asks why the old days are more pleasant than the present lacked good sense or experience with the things that happen in the world, or that he refused to evaluate correctly the things that happen in the world. Now, this is because if a person does not understand that the reason things are worse off at the present than in the past is because of increased disobedience to God, then that person has revealed lack of sense, good sense, or experience with God's person and work. Now, Gideon asked such a question, that kind of question, that is forbidden in our passage, when he complained about the situation Israel faced in Judges chapter 6, verse 13. Judges chapter 6, verse 13. Judges chapter 6, verse 13. He reads, "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." See, when Gideon asked the question recorded here, he implied that he was not quite knowledgeable either about Israel's idolatry or the explanation God provided as to the reason he will be angry with his covenant people, as recorded, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 25 and 26. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 25 and 26. He reads, and the answer will be, it is because these people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, the covenant he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. They went off and worshipped other gods and bowed down to them, gods they did not know, gods he had not given them. So it is clear that the only reason Israel will suffer God's anger, as evident in their defeat by their enemies, is if they disobeyed God and got involved in idolatry. Therefore, Gideon should have known that the reason Israel was suffering in his time was due to their disobedience or idolatry. If he realized that, he wouldn't be asking the question which he asked, that showed at that point he lacked wisdom. Now, understanding our explanation, though, of the state of knowledge of Gideon when he questioned the reason for Israel's suffering helps us to provide an explanation as to why Solomon indicated that to ask the question why the former days are more pleasant than the present is that when a person asks that kind of question, he reveals ignorance and not wisdom. Whenever somebody asks a question, they are revealing ignorance, not wisdom. For you see, a person who possesses wisdom should become aware that things are getting worse and worse in human history because people are moving further and further away from God and so far away from the spiritual things. And I keep reminding you, until sometime it will sink into some of us, things are not going to get better. I don't know how many times I can say it. They are not going to get better. So quit hoping that they are going to get better. They are not. Things are going to go worse and worse and worse. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that if the Lord brings spiritual awakening, that there will be no people being saved. But that doesn't mean that things are going to get better. It's just going to be an individual thing. Now, furthermore, to ask the question why things are getting worse is to ignore God's word. Now, the scripture tells us that things are going to get worse in this life. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, tells us that the world that we're living in is dying. In a passage I've quoted to you several times in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31. First Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31. He reads, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. In other words, don't be so taken into anything in this life. Don't get so involved in anything in this life that it controls you. Look at the reason. For this world in its present form is passing away. And again, as a reminder, that the world, using the analogy of ship, our world is a ship that's sinking. Nothing is going to keep it from sinking. So you better not be inside a sinking ship. That's the better thing. As an individual, because the world as a whole is going down. Nothing is going to keep it from going down. Likewise, the Holy Spirit, though, through the apostle, tells us that things will deteriorate in this world in the latter days. In a passage that we studied a long time ago in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Second Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. He reads, but mark this. In other words, be sure of this. Be certain. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. That's the state of the world in which we're in. Now, that's everything we just read here. Listen to the news. That's exactly what you hear. Nothing more than that. Everything. Now, so the scripture indicates then that things get worse in this planet because people have rejected God's word. That's the reason. Now, many of us are shocked by the moral decay that we find in our days, and so we ask why. To ask that kind of question is to reveal that one is ignorant of the scripture and so could not be considered wise. You see, the Holy Spirit has also indicated that the moral decay that we see in our days is due to God handing people to such conduct, handing them over to such conduct because they rejected him. As we read, for example, or stated in Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read the whole thing, verses 21 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32. It reads, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Now look at the next. Once they entered that state, the next is that therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created beings rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Doesn't it sound like what we see today? Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, feckless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do this thing, these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, those who practice them, how do they approve them? Through their balloting today, because many, many people ballot or vote for things, you know, that are not right, but they vote for them. Once they do that, even though they say they're not a part of it, they're only trying to let people have their freedom, once they do that, that's what has, he says, not only do they approve of it, but they practice them, really, whether they accept it or not. In other words, what we're saying, you cannot say that this is sinful and you support it in one way or the other. Once you do that, you've actually practiced whether you believe it or not. That's what this passage is telling us. Well, we have thus far, though, from the larger context of the scripture, endeavored to provide a reason Solomon prohibited asking the question as to why things were better in the past than the present, or even claiming that things were better in the past than the present. Now, we did this because he did not provide any reason for his prohibition. Now, this notwithstanding, the context of his book enables us to provide additional reason Solomon prevented either posing such a question as to why older days are better than the present, or claiming that to be true. Now, this reason is that he had already argued that things remain essentially the same, as there is nothing new under the sun, and there are no perceptible changes in people from generation to generation. No perceptible changes. Because he has already said that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. He reads, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. I mean, if you really believe this and you study history, you realize that. I mean, some of the things that we all complain in this country, which, you know, rightfully we do in some cases. If you read Greek civilization, Romans, the history of Rome and the Romans, you see that the moral decay that they faced before they were phased out as an empire is exactly what we're facing today. That's no difference. Think about whatever we're complaining, that's exactly what they faced. So, in a sense, verse 10 says, is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. So a wise person should be able to recognize what Solomon has stated, so as to either ask why things were better in the old days than the present, or to claim that it is the case reveals that a person is unwise if you go any of those routes. For one thing, though, such a person fails to recognize that man's problem does not change from generation to generation. It doesn't change. Now, each generation faces its own difficulties that are essentially the same for every generation. This of course is not to deny any technological improvement, as that may be better in certain generations than others. But technology does not actually keep people from acting in a sinful manner that explains the decadency we find. And you notice people with technology, somebody can sit in their room and wipe out your bank account. No gun, nothing. Just with the stroke of the computer and things like that, wipe you out. And you think things are getting better? I mean, technology, all it does is just makes it easier to do certain things. Before, somebody could do that in the past, they would have to come rob you in your house with a gun or somewhere in the bank. Now they don't have to do that. All they have to do is just hack the code or whatever it is, and they wipe you out. So you see that even the way you look at it, the basic nature of man hasn't changed. Man continues to be a criminal, a thief, wants something for nothing. It hasn't changed. That will always be true. How they go about doing it, it's a different thing. It all depends on every generation. But the point is, nothing is different. Furthermore, such a person, though, who asks these questions is ignorant of God's work and the person, God's work and person, that will account for situations becoming worse in the world, as we have indicated as our first reason. Though Solomon's point in prohibiting the question about the reason older days are more pleasant than the present is that to ask such a question implies that a person is ignorant of God's nature and God's work. The Bible has clearly laid out the things that we are seeing that is going to take place, which means things are going to get worse. Now, that is the world as a whole. So, of course, the way I think about it should be the other way. I mean, if you're a believer, this is the way it should go for you. The world is sinking, you're rising. That should be the way it goes for the believer. In other words, things are getting worse and worse for all unbelievers. It should get better and better for you. I'm not talking about your finances. That also, it should get better, but that's not what I'm talking about. Your whole life, it becomes more peaceful, because you are going upwards to the point you're going to be meeting your Savior. So things should be going up, not down. The world is going down, you're going up. So that's my point. So the point then, of course, is that wisdom has the benefit of keeping a person from asking certain kinds of questions that will reveal ignorance of the Word of God, or making claims that also reveal ignorance of facts, as already given in the Scripture. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't ask questions about things you don't understand. But what we're dealing with is living in the past. In other words, all this comes down to is, don't live in the past. As a believer, live in the present, live looking towards the future. In other words, whatever your success is in the past, forget about them and keep moving forward. Whatever failures they were in the past, forget about them and keep moving forward. Spiritually. That's the issue. But in terms of what I, you know, asking why, you know, these old days are better than now, it just says it's a sign of a person who is ignorant of the word of God. So again, we ask, why should anyone prefer wisdom over money? Why? That's the second time I ask the question, why? Well, the second answer is that wisdom provides protection and preservation. Wisdom provides you protection and preservation. But before we consider the benefits of wisdom that we have stated in terms of protection and preservation, we should note, though, the assertion of Solomon regarding wisdom. It is his assertion that wisdom is either good with an inheritance or that it is good as an inheritance. In other words, he's either saying that wisdom is either good with an inheritance or simply that it's good as an inheritance. Now, it is this assertion that is given in the first sentence of Ecclesiastes, where we're starting, chapter 7, verse 11, when it says, wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing. Now, an alternative translation that is somewhat more literal is reads this way. Wisdom with an inheritance is good. That is, that's one way. We can say wisdom with an inheritance is good. Or there is also an alternative translation that's still literal, more literal, which is to say wisdom is as good as an inheritance. Wisdom is as good as an inheritance. Now, this is because, though, the Hebrew preposition used in our passage that basically means with may serve in our context either as a marker of accompaniment and so means something like together with, or the Hebrew preposition can be used here as a marker of comparison, hence means something like as good as or in comparison to. So that's why we have those two alternative translations. Now, our English versions are divided in their translation of the preposition, since some translate it with the meaning with, and others translate it using like or using the expression as good as. Now, Solomon either asserts that wisdom that is accompanied with an inheritance is a good thing. That is, that wisdom is advantageous only if it is accompanied by possessions. That could be one way. See, we're trying to see, there are two things it could be saying. So we probably have to narrow down to which one is it. In other words, he could be saying that if you have wisdom and if it is accompanied with an inheritance, then that's a good thing. Now, that's one thing that you can see him saying. Or he could also be really saying simply that wisdom is as good as an inheritance. Whether you have possession, don't have any inheritance, doesn't matter. That wisdom is simply as good as an inheritance. Now, based on the lexical meaning of the Hebrew preposition use, both translations are possible. And that's why our English versions are divided. Some translated using the other one meaning, others translated using a second meaning. However, because in verse 12 of the passage we're starting with, wisdom is compared to money. It is probably then used here in verse 11 in a comparative sense, so that wisdom is seen as good as an inheritance, or that it is even better than an inheritance. In other words, we're saying that it's more likely that Solomon was simply saying that wisdom is as good as an inheritance, or that it is even better than inheritance. Now, this interpretation will be in keeping with what Solomon later stated when he indicated that wisdom is better than other things, as in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 15 through 18. He reads, "Now there lived in that city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But a poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good." We'll deal with that by God's grace at the appropriate time, but just to know that he made a comparison showing that wisdom is better than many things. Furthermore, it is because Solomon recognized that wisdom is more valuable than an inheritance. But what we're saying is, you know, if you have wisdom, then it's better than whatever it is that your parents leave for you. That's what we're arguing. That's what Solomon is saying. So it's because he recognized that it's more valuable than the inheritance from his father that he asked the Lord for wisdom when the Lord gave him the opportunity to request anything from him. The Lord appeared to him and said, "You just ask, name it. I give it to you." What he asked for? Wisdom. According to 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. He reads, "Solomon answered, 'You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness.'" Now, one thing, though, that you notice about Solomon, and I hope that all parents, your children can say that about you, regardless of what they think or don't think about you, that they can say, "Yes, my mom, my dad, yes, he or she was a faithful believer, upright in mind." So they can see that. This man saw his father. So he said, "You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? See, that's all he asks for, wisdom. Because that's something more valuable than anything on this planet. In any case, Solomon not only tells us that wisdom is as good as an inheritance, but he asserted that it is beneficial. As go back to where we're studying Ecclesiastes 7 verse 11, where he says, and benefits those who see the sun. Now a more literal translation is, and an advantage to those who see the sun. Now this is because we have a Hebrew word that here means advantage, benefit. Hence wisdom is advantageous or beneficial or gives lasting benefit to those who are alive on this planet. Now we say that wisdom is advantageous or beneficial or gives lasting benefit to those who are alive on this planet. Since the clause, those who see the sun, refers to those who are on this planet, since they are the ones that see, wake up every day, see the sun, or the or sunlight. Now, so having declared though, that wisdom is advantageous or beneficial or give lasting benefit to those who have it, Solomon proceeded to tell us how this is the case. Since he began the next Hebrew line with a Hebrew conjunction that is used in verse 12 as a marker of reason or explanation. As to reason, wisdom is an advantage or beneficial. Now the first thing he asserts is that wisdom provides protection, as in the first sentence of Ecclesiastes 7 verse 12, when it says, wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. Now the word as does not appear in the Hebrew text, but it is supplied for clarity, since the Hebrew literally reads, this is the way it reads in the Hebrew, literally, for in the shade of wisdom, the shade of money. That's all the way it reads. For in the shade of wisdom, the shade of money. Now this is because we have a Hebrew word that basically means shade, or I mean shadow. Now it is in the sense of shadow that is used to describe the sign the Lord gave to Hezekiah that he will recover from his sickness. The Lord said, you're going to recover. Here's a sign. And that sign, the word, our word is used in describing that sign in 2 Kings chapter 20 verse 9. Second Kings, chapter 20, verse 9. It reads, Isaiah answered, this is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps, or shall it go back 10 steps? Now that word shadow is the same Hebrew word used in our passage where it's translated shelter. Now the meaning shadow though can refer to shade that keeps someone or an object or an object safe from harm or danger. And so, simply means protection. As in Numbers, chapter 14, verse 9. Numbers, chapter 14, verse 9. He reads, only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Now, the word protection there is really the same Hebrew word that is translated shelter or shadow. So, it can mean protection. Now, the meaning shadow can also be used in a figurative manner for the transitoriness of life. Transitoriness of life, as in Psalms 144, verse 4. Psalms 144, verse 4. It reads, man is like a breath. His days are like a fleeting shadow. That is to say, it tells us our life is transitory. Now, in our passage of Ecclesiastes 7, verse 12, the meaning is that of protection. So, that wisdom offers protection. Now, Solomon did not elaborate in what way wisdom provides protection, but the mention of money as also offering protection enables us to understand the kind of protection that wisdom provides. See, money can buy some form of physical protection, and that the wealthy could provide for himself a measure of protection by paying those with arms to protect him. Now, wisdom can also bring protection, and that a wise person will know how to deal with those who cause physical harm and to be protected. In other words, wisdom can come handy, even when somebody is trying to kidnap you. Wisdom can make you disarm them completely, and they drop whatever weapon they have. So money can also provide some measure of protection from poverty or starvation. Now, wisdom can also do the same thing, not necessarily in the same degree that money can. Thus, wisdom can provide any kind of protection that money can. Now, you see, money provides luxury or some form of pleasure, but such are not protections. Luxuries are not protections. Instead, they constitute nothing but enjoyment. Now, Solomon's point is that when we consider what is important, that is, in this case, protection of any kind, money offers no advantage over wisdom. Now, it is true that many will choose money over wisdom. Solomon reminds us that wisdom has the advantage over money in the last sentence of Ecclesiastes 7 verse 12, when it says, but the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. Now, it is interesting that Solomon, who has been stating the advantage of wisdom, now changed to speak of advantage of knowledge. Now, why did he do so? The answer is simply that both knowledge and wisdom are interchangeable in certain contexts. And see, the word knowledge is translated from a Hebrew word with several meanings. Now, like the Hebrew word translated wisdom, it can also refer to skill in a technical matters, and so can mean something like skill, as in Exodus chapter 31, verse 3. Exodus. And put something in, put your marker in Exodus. After one passage, I come right back to it. Exodus 31 verse 3 reads, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts." Now see, the Hebrew word translated knowledge can also mean discernment, understanding, wisdom. That is really a knowledge with focus on moral qualities and applications. So it is in the sense of discernment that the Hebrew word is used in Proverbs chapter 8 verse 9. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 9. It reads, "To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge." Now see, an alternative translation of this verse that is more literal will read something like this: "All of them are straight to him who understands, and upright to those who find knowledge." Now the first line of this verse says the same thing as the second. So that knowledge, translated from our Hebrew word, is the same as discerning or understanding. The point is that the word knowledge can be interchanged with wisdom. It is because of this that Solomon switched from wisdom to knowledge and back to wisdom. Now be that then as he may, it is the assertion of Solomon that when it comes to protection, the advantage belongs to wisdom, because wisdom does what money cannot. Wisdom is said to preserve the life of its possessor. Money cannot do that. Now the expression "preserve the life" in our sentence is translated from a Hebrew verb that has several meanings. In the Hebrew form, the form that's used in our passage called the PL, that is used in our particular passage. So it means simply to preserve, to keep life, as in Exodus chapter 1 verse 22. Exodus chapter 1 verse 22. He reads, "Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: every boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." That's to be preserved. Now the word can also mean to restore to life, as it is used in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 6. Here it means to restore, because the Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The meaning here is really to restore. Now, of course, that word has several meanings. When we have noted various meanings of our Hebrew word. Now, each of these meanings makes sense in our context. But because of the fact that Solomon has previously mentioned protection, then it is the meaning of preservation of life that is most appropriate. At any rate, Solomon indicates that wisdom, unlike money, can preserve a person's life. This means that wisdom, as that knowledge derived from God, when applied, can preserve a person's life in time of crisis or danger. Now, you see, wealth cannot help a person who is in distress, as implied in the question of Job in Job chapter 36, verse 19. Job chapter 36, verse 19. He reads, "Will your wealth or even all your mighty efforts sustain you so you will not be in distress?" In other words, what he's saying is wealth is not going to shelter anyone from distress. The same concept of the inability of money to help in time of distress is put in a different way in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4. Proverbs he reads, "Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath." Notice, when God brings judgment, wealth doesn't mean anything. But righteousness delivers from death. So you see, here is the thing Solomon is trying to get to us. Money can offer no help to someone who is under distress or under great stress. But wisdom can. In other words, you can have all the money you want, and when you're under stress, money cannot help you. Now, as you can tell, but because of wealthy people that you hear, they have to pop in one pill after the other just to go to sleep, to calm their nerves down, whatever. So in other words, the word of God, in form of wisdom, can bring peace to a soul that is troubled, something that money cannot do. Money cannot bring you peace. Money cannot bring you happiness. And so that's what people think. All it does is entertain you. But in terms of actual peace of soul, money cannot do that. Wisdom can. In other words, once you have the application of the word of God and God grants you that wisdom, it can bring about peace. And you can find yourself in all kinds of trouble and still have that peace. Hence, though, we are again reminded the message of this passage, which is, you should prefer wisdom even over money, because it is beneficial to those who possess it, providing them something money cannot. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us to the things that we have studied this evening, so that in the days to come, we'll continue to seek towards you for wisdom, knowing it's beneficial to our life on this planet. It is our request in Christ's name. Amen.